Life, culture, and current events from a biblical perspective. 2020 on Vision.
We're going to talk today about the public evangelism in Australia, the status of that. How free are we to share our faith wherever we want to? Not just within the four walls of our church, that sort of idea of freedom of worship, but what about the freedom of religion that comes, that says you can stand on the street corner in your city or your town and you can tell your testimony and declare your faith in Jesus Christ, and you can efficiently and legally, lawfully do that? Well, I can tell you, things are tightening up. And we'll talk about some of those things today, but also on the whole level of how effective it is when you do speak up, when you do declare the name of Christ, when you do tell your testimony and tell of the transformation that's happened in you. Amazing things will happen in the hearers, because you know that God is at work. God is fulfilling His mission. He's reaching out and He is bringing His gospel of salvation into people's lives. Lives are being transformed, and those people will soon be equipped and able to share their faith too. It's an important thing to talk about, sharing our faith in Christ. Ryan Hemelaar is joining us. You'll know Ryan. He is the overseer of the ministry and the Southeast Queensland team leader for the organization called Operation 513. Now, Operation 513 has various arms right around Australia and also now reaching out around the world. You can find Operation 513 in Melbourne and in Hobart, and on the Gold Coast in Queensland, in the city of Brisbane, and also across the sea in Auckland and in Essex in the UK. But a special welcome back to you, Ryan Hemelaar. Great to see you.
Thanks for having me, Neil.
And Ryan, just before we get into some of the serious stuff, you're just back with your beautiful wife, Rebecca, from a visit to Myanmar. And it was an evangelism trip. How did you go? Give us a quick, in a nutshell, description of how things went for you.
It was an amazing experience. We went over with 11 of us, a team of 11 Australians, and we were working with 11 local pastors or translators over there. And our main focus was to share the gospel with as many people as possible. And so we printed up over 200,000 gospel tracts for the 9 or so days that we were there. And, by God's grace, we were able to get them out to the people in the main city of Yangon. And it was amazing to see the response. It's almost like 99% of people will take a gospel tract from you. You can almost approach anyone and say, hey, do you know about Jesus? And they'll spend the next half hour talking to you about this.
Let me just dwell on this for a moment. 200,000 tracts. You had these printed up, especially in the language of people in Myanmar.
Yes, in Burmese.
And there was a team of 11 of you, and you distributed the whole 200,000 in that time that you were there.
Yeah.
You guys, I know you are well organized, and for listeners, being well organized is not what people are used to when they think of street evangelism. Sometimes they're thinking of, you know, that person who's a little bit weird. It's always a little bit super spiritual at church on Sunday, and they're out on the street in their town and preaching the gospel. But you guys are taking this to a whole new level. Organization, level-headed thinking, a strategy, and not just here in Australia, but now reaching out around the world. It's an amazing thing, this whole strategy and the ability that you have to actually bring a team together and fulfill goals that you set.
I'd say the inspiration maybe came from Ray Comfort and his ministry. He has some really helpful teachings on evangelism. And so because his teaching has kind of spread more across the world, people have been equipped to know how to share their faith. And so that's how people are searching, street evangelism teams, are there any about? Because it's so much easier to do evangelism with other people rather than just by yourself. And so that's why we see that, like, each of our teams across Australia, they'll have maybe 10, sometimes 15, sometimes we even have 30 people on the team each night. And the team just gathers together for the common purpose of wanting to share the gospel with the lost. And we want to do it with love and grace and compassion, and yet still be uncompromising in the truth.
And, you know, some people will talk about sharing their faith in love in a friendship evangelism way. You take it to a new level too when you have tracts on the street and you're talking to people that you don't know, that you are not friends with. You hope that you will become a friend with them, but you're not a friend of them. But you realize that unless you do that, you're just never going to be able to reach out and find people to share your faith with, because that's the way to effectively reach out to a lot of people in a very quick way.
Exactly. Jesus said, a prophet is not without honor except in his own hometown. And often when we know a person or we're friends with them, they'll be less likely willing to listen to you as you share your faith. But it's interesting how if you talk to a stranger and ask them, hey, where do you think you'll go when you die? Have you thought about that? And they'll open up and most people will be willing to talk with you and even share things which they probably wouldn't share with their friends, because they know that by sharing that with you, they don't have anything to lose. When if it's them sharing with a friend, you know, they're worried about the relationship, maybe it's going to be affected in some way. And we obviously know that if we only share the gospel with just our friends, everyone's only got a limited amount of friends, you know. But if we see that the gospel is to go out to all four corners of this world, make disciples of all nations, Jesus said. And so I think it's important that, Christians get out and get out of their comfort zones. And that's what's stopping us, fear and trepidation. Like, oh, what will they think if I ask them about, you know, their faith or where they'll go when they die? And that terrifies us. But if we, follow in the footsteps of Jesus and see that, there is that fear, but it drives us to prayer, to ask God for help. And even in the Great Commission, I love it how Jesus says, go and make disciples of all nations. And then he ends it with saying, that, lo, I will be with you even to the end of the age. So we can know that when you're sharing your faith, Jesus is right there with you.
And Ryan, I know that you know that so personally, because you've not always had a smooth run. This is what you do full time. You are an evangelist. You're coordinating teams. You're involved in the oversight of what we mentioned in Melbourne, in Hobart, in Brisbane, in Auckland, in Essex in the UK. And you're not without those experiences when you have needed the enabling of the Holy Spirit, the presence of God, because you've found yourself in sticky situations. Let me just ask you, because our conversation today is all about the public status or the status of public evangelism in Australia and how you can effectively and freely share the gospel. Well, you've come up against opposition. In fact, as we sit right now, the authorities in the state of Queensland have outlawed, now listeners might be shocked by this, have outlawed people sharing their faith in the main mall in the middle of the Brisbane CBD, the Queen Street Mall in Brisbane. And you were right there in the heart of all of that, Ryan. Give us a quick update on what's happening with that situation.
Yeah, it was really sad to see the local council, the Brisbane City Council, a couple years ago begin to fine individuals for wanting to share their faith in the Queen Street Mall. They even fined people for even just starting a conversation with someone, and they said, oh, because you're talking about God, and that's not allowed. You're not allowed to talk about God here in the Queen Street Mall. And so it's really sad to see. And so we wanted to challenge this through the courts, and had even reached the High Court. And we just received word just the other day that unfortunately the High Court didn't see it as something they wanted to hear. And so unfortunately we weren't able to get that decision overturned. But it is concerning, very concerning to see that a local authority like that can just completely outlaw sharing the gospel, sharing the Christian faith in such a big area like that.
So if any Christian believer, now you're a part of Operation 513, is it just your outfit that is outlawed in the Queen Street Mall in Brisbane, or is it really anyone who goes in there and decides that I want to be able to share my personal testimony, the gospel message, with someone sitting on a bench in the middle of the mall? Are they also outlawed?
It's anyone.
So anyone. Anyone is outlawed.
There used to be a number of groups that would regularly share the gospel in the Queen Street Mall. And so, in fact, some groups were there for decades, you know, continue regularly there. But unfortunately, the local authorities driven all of them out, and they've said that, they're not allowed to return. And Yeah, and so it's so sad to see that, you're not allowed to hand out a single gospel tract. You're not allowed to even start a conversation with someone. You can't sit down on a bench and say a friendly hello and start a spiritual conversation because the council say that's not allowed.
And I'm interested in the thoughts of listeners about whether you thought this would be coming on cities and towns in Australia. You can give us a call. Let's open our talkback lines. And if you'd like to participate in our conversation today, 1-800-316-316. Maybe you're shocked by the idea that there are authorities behaving as thought police, telling you that you cannot share your faith with someone in a main centre like the CBD of Brisbane in the Queen Street Mall. Let me just get some more detail about this, Ryan. Does it mean that if you're off on a side street from the mall, that you're able to share your faith there? Have you been given a strict boundary as to, you know, don't enter here or you're breaking the law? What does the Brisbane City Council say?
So at the moment, the laws against sharing your faith and approaching people and start conversations and so on is limited to the Queen Street Mall. So thankfully, footpaths in other places of the city is fine. But it's concerning to see that it's beginning in that area, and I wonder if over time it'll extend then to the rest of the city and even other parts of Australia.
Well, I wonder whether listeners, if you can reflect on what might be happening in your town. Are you able to go and stand on the street corner in the main street of your town or your city and share your faith with others? You might have also come up against opposition from councils or from the police. You might like to be part of our conversation today. Interested in hearing those sorts of thoughts and comments. 1-800-316-316. That's 1-800-316-316. Ryan, it's people like you who go up in my estimation. When people are facing what we could all say is persecution, it's like the state becomes the enemy of the gospel when this sort of thing happens. You go up in my estimation because you've been arrested, you've been dragged before the court, and you've actually had a ruling against you, and that's really quite significant. Tell us how you were feeling as you went through all of that process before the courts. Was this a fearful time for you? How does it do to your faith when you're actually, just like the Bible says, you know, you're going to be dragged before authorities, but don't be too concerned. Don't even be too prepared because I'm going to put the words in your mouth. How does that all work when you're in the court?
Yeah, it reminds me of the Book of Acts and what the apostles and the early church went through. How the authorities there were not very welcoming to the gospel going into different parts of the world, and they were often stopped and driven out of places. But yet we see that because the persecution came to the early church, like in Jerusalem, it meant the church did spread and grew. And that's often what we see, that the church will grow through these hard times of persecution. And sometimes that's what the church needs to waken it up, because we can often get into a kind of like a stupor and get lazy and just get comfortable in this world, not realizing that our home is not here. Our home is in heaven. That's where our citizenship is. And we want as many people as possible to be with us in heaven. And we've got this great news of the gospel. And I think, when we were before the magistrates and the judges, what was going through my head and what I was praying for is that even just some of the words that we would say or some of the things that they might read that on paper that contains the gospel message, because I knew the gospel was had been presented even in the court. And so I was just praying that God would use that to really soften the hearts of these judges and that they might come to saving faith. And whether that be straight away or whether it be another 20 years' time when they remember, I remember what I heard in that courtroom that day, and God might use that to save them. And so, the Bible says that we should, pray for all people, even pray for those in authorities and the judges and so on. And that's our prayer, that God would save them and bring them to himself.
Some people would say, I'm a little bit fearful of going out on the street and sharing my faith because what if I got arrested? What would that do for my faith? Would it really enhance my faith? Would I be given a boost? Or would I actually feel like somehow or other I've suffered a broadside here? What have I done? I shouldn't have been out here. I shouldn't have bothered. What does it do for your faith when you strike a bit of opposition?
Yeah, it does strengthen it. It makes you rely not on yourself, but on God, and he supplies you with everything that you need. So, in fact, Jesus, it reminds me of what Jesus said in Matthew 10. He says, "Don't fear man who can only kill the body, but do no more, but fear God who can destroy both soul and body in hell." And so it makes us remember, what can man do? You know, if God's on my side, even if they, drag me before a court, who cares? You know, this is ultimately, I want to live my life for the Lord. And honestly, you draw so much closer to God. You're so much more joyful knowing that, you're doing things for God and in his service. And Jesus says, if they hated me, they'll hate you also. So in some way, it shows that you're following in the footsteps of your master. And obviously, we don't go out to seek persecution, but obviously, when it comes, and it will come, you know, in 2 Timothy, it says, anyone who desires to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. And so I just encourage everyone not to think, I don't want to get, you know, I don't want to maybe get in trouble or anything like that. But instead, just see, I guess maybe make compassion swallow your fears. Have compassion for the lost here, that they need to hear the gospel. There's no other name given among men by which they can be saved but the name of Jesus.
Life, culture, and current events from a biblical perspective. 2020 on Vision.
Talking through issues, the state of public evangelism in Australia. As a Christian believer, you might be concerned with some of the things that you are hearing. Our talkback line open on 1-800-316-316. Ryan Hemelar is our guest. He oversees the ministry and is the Southeast Queensland team leader for Operation 513. Ryan, let's take some calls and see what listeners have to contribute today. Let's hear from Steve in Rockhampton in Queensland. Hello, Steve. Welcome along.
Hey, hello. Yeah.
Steve, welcome. What are your thoughts?
Well, just I want to say up front, I'm not representing the Brisbane City Council or anything like that, but I have been in a situation where I was trying to do some sort of demonstration in the city mall, and we just walked in there with a few placards on poles, and people came out straight away and just said, no, you can't do that here. And I think there is a public safety issue that we need to be aware about. You know, they're very focused on crowd control and appropriate activities in the mall because it is a very busy area. And you normally need to get a permit to do something in there. But I just think, you know, maybe we should get a bit smarter. You are allowed to busk in the mall, so you could get a busking permit and sing songs that raise God consciousness, you know, and that's a way of, you know, demonstrating your faith. I don't know what you think of that.
Yes, Steve, appreciate those comments. I just reflect on what Ryan was sharing in that there are some groups that have been actually had that ability to share their testimony and their faith for decades. Decades gone by, and we might even, you know, there might be a significant number of decades. But Ryan, your thoughts for Steve as he's contributed those things.
Yeah, so the thing is that even when we were doing it under an authorization, under a permit. And the thing is now is that the council's refusing to give those now because they know that the content is about God. And the thing is, in regards to like what we're saying about public safety, the thing is that they're preventing even a simple conversation with someone sitting on a bench. Which isn't in relation to public safety at all. It's clear that they just didn't want, in particular, the Christian message to be shared in that place.
Let's keep with Steve for a few moments, because Steve, you're clearly aware of the sorts of regulations that councils might have in their CBD areas. Your thoughts?
I'm really just talking about my experience. Yes, so
okay.
I've never applied for a permit or anything like that.
All right. How does it does it concern you at all with the swipe of a pen that authorities can actually outlaw someone sharing the gospel in a place like the Queen Street Mall, and that the fact that it might be the Queen Street Mall this week, it might be the entire CBD next week. What are your thoughts on how those things continue to arise?
My feeling is that we shouldn't overreact to things like that. That, you know, the council and the Brisbane City Mall is a secular place. And there are plenty of other places and plenty of other opportunities where we can share our faith freely that haven't been, you know, closed down by regulation yet. So, you know, I think it's a bit much to sort of say, okay, now the council is anti-Christian.
Steve, that you can say that the Queen Street Mall is a secular place, but who said it's a secular place? Isn't it as much a Christian place as it is a secular place?
Well, it's kind of like, you know, render unto Caesar what is Caesar's and unto God what is God's. It's, they have control over that space, so we have to follow their regulations. And I don't see that there is a case for breaking the law or a regulation so that we can share our faith, because, you know, we have plenty of opportunities.
All right, well, Steve,
get creative in the way that we do it.
I loved your suggestions about getting creative. You know, sending in some evangelistic buskers that might be able to do the evangelism through song. Steve, thank you so much for your call today. Steve from Rockhampton, 1-800-316-316. If you'd like to join in our conversation today, let's take a call from Les, actually from Daniel in Campbelltown in New South Wales. Daniel, welcome along.
Hi, how you going?
Good, Daniel. What are your thoughts?
Well, I'm a street evangelist anyway. I go out on Thursdays and Fridays around the Campbelltown area. And, we've come across all sorts of persecution, not only from those who walk past us and hate God, but some of those people actually go and tell the council and the police, and they've tried to shut us down a few times.
This is an interesting development, isn't it? Because when people know that there's a regulation against the evangelists, they can go and tell the authorities, and all of a sudden someone will come and need to react. Let's get a thought or two from Ryan on that sort of situation. Ryan, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, it is very concerning to hear that it's happening in more places around Australia. And often there may not even be a particular regulation, like I'm not sure in this circumstance in Campbelltown, but... Because often, like, even police can have very broad powers, it's simply that if someone makes a complaint, the police can even just have the broad enough power to say, look, well, this person didn't want to hear the message, what you're saying, so you can't say, you know, you got to move away or whatever it is. And that is concerning to see that's happening in more places around Australia. And I guess our prayer should be that we'll continue to have the freedom to share the gospel. And I think... You know, while it's daylight, we should make the most of the opportunity that we have, and that's why I hope that even this conversation will encourage more people to get out of their comfort zones and say, yeah, while it is day, I want to spend some time sharing the gospel, sharing with the lost, and things. Who knows what God will do with the words that you say or with that gospel tract that you hand out. You know, ultimately, you may never know the ultimate results of what happens with that gospel tract that you hand out, but it's in God's hands, and he can use it to save people as he sees fit.
Daniel, while I've got you and your story from Campbelltown in New South Wales, we talk about a sort of a polarizing. Some people are becoming more hateful. I think you used that word. You know, people who are really quite open with their expression against you. This sort of polarizing. Have you been doing this for a long time, and is this something you've seen developed more significantly over the most recent years?
Well, I've only been saved for 12 years, and I immediately started evangelism the year I got saved, and so that was in 2006. And so I started evangelism then, and people have always been like very negative towards it, but I find that it's a lot worse now.
Okay.
Yeah, for some reason, like, it's just as the world gets darker and darker, I find that people are more rejecting God a lot more.
All right. Daniel, I want to thank you so much for your input today. Response on this idea of, you know, darkness getting darker and is this getting harder, Ryan?
Yeah, I do find that people often these days are more hostile towards the things of God. It's interesting to see that those who are most hostile towards the things of God are those who've had some sort of either Catholic or Christian background and they've rejected it now. They're like maybe hardened atheists or something like that. And so they'll be so vocal against you sharing your faith, against Christians. In fact, we sometimes have some people who each week they're committed. Each week they're atheists, and they'll try and come out just to debate or just trying to tie you up so that you can't then evangelize to others because you're having to spend time talking to this person, and just seeing their commitment because they don't want the Christian message to go out, and so. They're very committed, I guess, in their unbelief, and they're very evangelistic in it. But at the same time, having said that, there are still a lot of people who are willing to talk and are open to thinking about eternal matters because, well, they're like, well, I didn't go to Sunday school. Because we're living in a different generation today who a lot of them didn't go to Sunday school.
Ryan Hemelar is overseeing a ministry called Operation 513. He's just back from Myanmar. And Myanmar, we would say, is a totalitarian state. It is an authoritarian state. It's a Buddhist state. And he's been on the streets of Yangon, the capital in Myanmar, and has just returned with a team, and they have shared their faith on the streets freely in Yangon. If I ask you, Ryan Hemelar, before we take any more calls, because it's a serious thing to make this sort of contrast and comparison, but you've just returned from the capital city in a totalitarian state, and it was free and easy sharing the good news of Jesus Christ.
It is amazing, and the local Christians there are so praising God for the fact that they have the freedom to be able to do that. It hasn't always been like that. It's been a bit of a struggle over time, but over the past 2 years now, there is this freedom, complete freedom to hand out a gospel tract, talk to anyone, share the good news of Jesus with the lost. And the people there are hungry for the truth because they've been in darkness for so long and most of them don't even know anything about Jesus or what he's done. And so when you come to them with the news of Jesus, they're like, wow, I've never heard this before. I've never understood this. Oh, this is amazing. In fact, there was one lady, who was up, we were in the city, and there's this lady up a couple stories up in a building, and she whistled to one of the team members down below who was handing out tracts below, and she threw down a rope with a peg on the end and saying, put a tract on it, I want it. And so she wheeled.
She was fishing.
She wanted it. And it's just so cool to see. Even the Buddhist monks, you think the Buddhist monks, you know, they're going to be staunch, you know, they're very entrenched in their Buddhism and they won't want to hear about Jesus. And yet they were the very people who were like, tell us, you know, what is this about? And we gave them Bibles, we gave them in-depth material on what Christianity is all about because, I guess people like that are quite dissatisfied in their Buddhism because, like, Buddhism doesn't offer any hope. It's basically all of life is suffering, and ultimately your ultimate aim is to reach non-existence. That's what nirvana is, where you cease to exist. And yet when they hear about Christianity and offers the hope of eternal life, you know, in heaven with God, forgiveness of your sins, it's amazing. And that's why we had so many positive responses from people. The local pastor had lots of phone calls from people wanting to say, hey, can we meet up? Can you tell us more about Jesus? We want to find out more. And it's just great to see that God is saving people, in all parts of the world, not just here in Australia, but even in places like a third world country like Myanmar, God is building his church.
There is a real hunger for what is good news. Now, interestingly, when you say that people have not either heard the gospel message in Myanmar or have not understood it, I suspect there's a lot of Aussies who say, oh, I've heard this sort of stuff ever since I was little. Mm. You know, every now and then it's on TV, and then there's Ryan Hemelar on the radio or getting arrested in the mall. I mean, you know, people can say, well, they've heard it, but understanding this message of the gospel is where Aussies seem to fall short, erring on the side of going along with the flow, the spirit of the age, the secularized state of the nation, being influenced by what mainstream media is trying to tell them, keep away from those religious fanatics. But they've not understood the message, Ryan. When you are out on the streets, is this part of the ignorance that you might find in people? They might be antagonistic, they might be angry, but they don't understand the good news.
That's spot on, particularly with those who grew up in going to a Christian school or Catholic school or something like that. They think that Christianity is just all about a set of rules. In fact, even some people you might meet on the street who will profess to be Christians, and you ask them, okay, so why would God let you into heaven? And often the answer you get back is, well, it's because I'm a good person. You know, I've done the right thing. And which shows that these people haven't actually understood the good news, that Christianity is not a message of try your best and hopefully that'll get you to heaven in the end. No, it's a message of, actually, no, we've broken God's laws. We're sinners. We deserve God's judgment, But that's why Jesus came to die for us. He came to die not for good people, but for us as sinners. And so we can receive that forgiveness if we come to him in repentance and faith. And you see a lot of people, when you explain the gospel like that, they're like, I've never heard it explained like that. I thought it was all that it's about, I have to try and be better now. No, it's not about that. It's about Jesus paid the price for you. And so that's how we're saved. And obviously, once you're saved, you do want to do the right thing because you love the Lord now and you want to obey him. But that's not how we're saved. It's not our obedience that saves us, but it's what Christ has done for us on the cross.
Well, our Christianity certainly has a little public image problem because the good news doesn't look like good news, and we have to be able to reinforce what is good news, the grace of God, because we've fallen short of the glory of God. We're taking calls, 1-800-316-316. Let's hear from Steve in the Grampians region. Hello, Steve. Welcome along.
Yeah, g'day.
Steve, what are your thoughts?
Well, my thoughts are that in Australia, most people are afraid to share the gospel in the best of times.
Yep.
Sorry, can you hear me?
Yes, I got you, yep. So afraid to share the gospel in the best of times. It's like times are good, it doesn't matter. Is that what you're saying?
Well, I think there's a general shame because people don't like to be misliked, unliked. And I think persecution was going to come, and we're in the last days, and it's so important for Christians to be able to begin to prepare and encourage each other. And I think that the gospel doesn't mean a lot to you until you begin to share it with your mouth. You begin to speak it out and share it, what you believe in.
Yep. Steve, good thoughts in there. Response from Ryan.
I like what you just said there at the end, yeah, because whenever you share the gospel with someone, you're reminded about it. You're reminded of how amazing it is that God saved a sinner like you or me. And it is a joy to do that, to share your faith with the lost. And it's true. Fear is what stops, I'd say, pretty much every Christian from wanting to share the gospel. And it's always a battle against the flesh. Jesus even said, even in his day, he said, the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And he says, pray to the Lord of the harvest, to raise up laborers to go out into his harvest field. And that's what we need to pray for. We need to pray that for other people to go to other places in the world, but also we need to pray for us, that God will stir in our hearts to see that maybe your friend or maybe, just your coworker down the aisle, or maybe, yeah, just someone you see on the street, to have compassion for them and think, look, if I don't share the good news of Christ with them, if I don't try and at least maybe give them a gospel tract, they may never hear of the gospel. They may never hear of the way of salvation. And so, yeah, let compassion swallow my fear and get out of my comfort zone and do it.
Thank you so much to Steve. Let's take another call. Let's hear from Noreen in WA. Hello, Noreen. Welcome along.
Welcome to you. You know, I have the radio 88 FM all night and all day.
Well,
and I agree with everything. And I didn't know, but I have a huge bruise on my left shoulder. And they tell me I must have fallen over and again in my room.
You've fallen over and you have a bruise on your shoulder.
I've got bruises everywhere.
All right. Noreen, what are your thoughts for our conversation today? Have you got any thoughts on public evangelism, sharing your faith? What are your thoughts?
I am an evangelist in my own right.
Wonderful. So which town are you in?
Brookton.
In Brookton in WA.
Yeah, that's
okay.
Right. And I have my old radio I bought in Fremantle in 1974. It stays on all night. And when I'm in the room during the day, and I am in a nursing home, and I know that some nursing homes do not live up to scratch. And
as someone who likes to share their faith in Christ in a nursing home situation, that's a little bit like, that's your mission field. Is that the way you think of it?
Yes, it is my mission field. And we have a chaplain comes in, and he gave me a book I'm reading about evangelism. He has recognized me as an evangelist.
Wonderful.
Yeah, and it's great to be recognized. But there are a lot who will come against you. And I know if you overdo it, that can push them away.
Ah, that's a good point to make. Let's get a thought from Ryan on that, because this idea of, you know, almost the dripping tap, the nagging, it's sometimes going too far, isn't it?
Mm, yeah, definitely. I think it's important to understand that, like, if you've attempted to share the gospel with someone and they've said, no, I don't want to hear, I don't want to talk about that. Yeah, to, I guess, respect that decision and but to pray for them, to remember that God is the one who is sovereign. He's the one who converts, and pray that God would soften their heart. And you might have another opportunity to share the gospel with that person later on down the track. And I think it's also important that as we share, let's say we're talking with someone and they seem quite open, quite receptive to the gospel, it's important not to then force a decision from them straight then and there, because it's important because we don't want a false convert. We don't want someone who said, well, I was pressured into making this decision straight away, but then they actually hadn't really counted the cost. And so when, you know, maybe trials and tribulation come later on, that they fall away from the word, and the Bible says it's actually worse that they started believing then fell than never came in the first place, because Jesus wants people to count the cost of following him before they set out to do so. And that's why after we share the gospel with someone, usually what I'll do is I would say, you know, please count the cost. You know, see it as an urgent thing, because yes, you could die at any time. 10 out of 10 of us die. It's urgent. But at the same time, count the cost. Are you prepared to actually, you know, trust in what Christ has done? And you'll want to put him as your number one in your life, not just Adam as number 15 on your list of things, but as your number one. And usually, you know, I usually don't then pray a sinner's prayer with them, but I'll say, look, if you're serious about this, you get on your knees before God when you get home and you know, cry out to him and say, God, I'm sorry for my sin. Thank you that you sent Jesus to die for me. Help me now to live my life your way. And I think if they're serious, if they're genuine, they'll do that. You know, I don't have to try to pressure them or force them into making a decision right then and there.
Thank you so much to Noreen from WA. Our talkback line open 1-800-316-316. Let's hear from Barry in Melbourne. Hello, Barry. Welcome along.
Yeah.
Barry, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, I've been a street preacher for the last 46 years or 47 years since I've been saved. I started witnessing on the streets.
Wow.
There's always been persecution against the gospel preaching on the streets. But it has, as far as, I'm in Melbourne, as far as the ability to preach on the streets here, it's in the centre of the city anyhow, it is very open and freer than what's ever been. But in the suburbs, it's a different matter. You get stopped very quickly. I've been to Queensland also, even 30 years ago in the mall there, it was against, they said it was against the law to give out tracts and such things. Throughout the whole of Queensland back then, you had to have a permit to give out tracts, and this was impossible to get. One friend of mine, we've been talking to someone to see a country town called Roma, yep. And we'd just sit down talking to someone on the seat, enjoying the sunshine, witnessing to someone, and the police had seen my gospel track. Someone had complained about it, and they came down and said my name was on the back of the track and said, Barry, you're under arrest. And I said why, and that, Anyhow, my friend, he stood up, and they took him away because his name also was Barry, and he spent the night in jail. And then we had to also come back a couple of days later to thing, and he got 1 year good behaviour bond, which didn't make much difference to him because he wasn't regularly out preaching in Queensland.
Barry, honour to you for being someone who is courageous and able to share your faith whenever that circumstance arises. What I've just picked up from you, Barry, is something very interesting, and I'll get some thoughts from Ryan. The idea, there's like an undercurrent of evangelists, and you got Barry in Melbourne and touring up into Queensland, and wherever the evangelist goes, they're looking for opportunities to share their faith with people. Mm. Is this something that you've noticed, Ryan, that people who have an evangelistic gift, they love to share their faith, they are witnesses for Jesus, they're travelling all over the place? It's like there's a big current of people travelling interstate at the moment, isn't there?
Yes, and it's really good to see that the gospel is going out into even, you know, remote country towns of Australia, because Christians are like, well, let's reach this town. Let's go there and let's find an opportunity to talk to people there, to share the gospel. And it's great to hear what you're doing, Barry, for the Lord. And the thing is that I don't think evangelism is just for those people who have like a gift of evangelism. You know, I see like the Great Commission is to all Christians to go and make disciples of all nations. And so like for myself, like when I was saved, first saved, I was like, I don't ever want to share the gospel with anyone. I was terrified, absolutely terrified. I said, look, I'll support evangelists, I'll support missionaries, I'll give them money, all that sort of stuff, but I'll never go and do it myself. But then once I encountered Ray Comfort's material, and he just taught, in there he teaches how to evangelize. And so once I was equipped, I was like, oh, I can do this now. And then I searched for, is there an evangelism team somewhere that I can join, others who are doing the same thing? And that's when I found the Brisbane Operation 513 team. And that was some 12 years ago that had just started up. And I went along and I loved it. And then I kept going and was part of the ministry and started doing more outreaches each day of the week because I see – I guess God just stirred in my heart and gave me that passion to want to evangelize. And I think for some people who are listening here today, that's what God might do in your heart. Once you're equipped to know how to share your faith, then it's just a matter of doing it. And I think finding others to do it with is a great way of being encouraged and being spurred on. And often that's how we do it. If we have new people that come out on the team, we'll actually encourage them to tag along with an experienced person. And they can listen into some of the conversations that are happening. And then just hearing the gospel a few times and hearing how they answer questions, equips you to then be able to do it yourself.
And Barry from Melbourne, just honour to you too, Barry, because you said that you were arrested for sharing your faith at one stage, and I can guarantee you turn up at your local church. For some people, it might say, I got arrested because I was driving under the influence of alcohol. Well, some people might frown on that. But if you turn up at your local church and you say, I've been arrested for sharing my faith in Jesus Christ, I think that people will lift you to a new level. If you want to be the sort of person who is recognized for serving the Lord in your local church, in humility, go out and get arrested for sharing the gospel. Now, I don't want to stir up any sort of public, special civil disobedience here, except to say, but it is an honor to have gone through some circumstances where you've come up against negatives, you've come up against opposition, and you're still strong in your faith, and you want to just keep on sharing your faith.
Visions 2020 with Neil Johnson. A biblical perspective on life, culture, and current events.
Well, time is running short and the telephones are running off the hook. I mean, I'll have to apologize, but we won't be able to take any more calls. For those who were trying to get through, appreciate your trying to get through, but this is such an exciting conversation topic. We should be talking about it a whole lot more, and I know you'd like that, Ryan Hemmeler. Ryan, let's just, as we talk through bringing some loose ends together, I know that there'll be people who are inspired with the idea of street evangelism, and for some, they're actually inspired by the idea that there's some pressure, like we were talking about on the streets of Brisbane, where you've been outlawed from actually sharing a testimony or a tract in the Queen Street Mall. Let's talk about tracts very briefly, because the thing that gives confidence to the street evangelist or the person who wants to share their faith in any public setting is the idea of having a tract in hand. What is the value of that?
I'd say it's a great blessing to have the printing press, you know, to be able to have the gospel written on a piece of paper or on a card or some sort of pamphlet, and to give it out to someone. Like, you might not have the time to have an in-depth conversation with somebody, so you can give them a gospel tract. Just say to them, oh, did you get one of these? And you'll find that most people will probably take it. And, you know, you might be at the petrol station, you're paying for petrol, just say, hey, take a read of this when you get a chance, and just offer them the tract. Give it to the bus driver, give it to someone who's maybe sitting at the bus stop, and just say, hey, here's something to read. In fact, tracts that are designed for like special time of the year, like Christmas, Easter, are really, really easy to hand out at those times of the year, because you can simply say, oh, Happy Easter, and then you offer them the tract, or Happy Christmas, Merry Christmas, and you give them a Christmas tract.
It breaks the ice. It's the conversation starter.
Mm.
It's easy because you don't have to have everything memorized that you want to say, and of course that comes with some experience. But you've got this tract, it goes into someone's hands, and you don't know where it'll go from there because it finds its way onto a coffee table and someone else in the family picks it up. And you just don't know the power of handing out evangelistic tracts. I know that the ones you love to hand out come from the Ray Comfort Way of the Master.
Yes.
And those tracts are available in the Vision store. So for those who are wondering and thinking, how do I get a hold of these tracts? It's some sort of obscure place. No, simply go online at vision.org.au. You'll find a link there for the Vision store, and you'll find a whole bunch of tracts there, and including those of Way of the Master, and also DVD series that people can actually learn more deeply how to be effective as an evangelist. But I do want to ask you, Ryan, before I let you go, because time's run out, Operation 513, we mentioned that you've got teams in Melbourne, in Hobart, in Brisbane, on the Gold Coast, and overseas in Auckland and in Essex in the UK. I know that there'll be people listening today, and we've heard from some perhaps lone wolf evangelists or people who are working in teams in their local community. Mm-hmm. How do they link to Operation 513?
Yes, we would love to have more labourers, not only just yet in the locations where we currently are, but even to have new teams started up in different areas, because often that's what we find, that there are evangelists in, like, maybe a handful of evangelists in various churches across, like, this nation, but they're not linked up with each other, and so they don't know that there are other Christians who are keen to share the gospel on the street. And so that's why Operation 513 exists, because it's kind of linking up these evangelists, people who love to do evangelism, to get them to have a regular outreach on the street somewhere. And the thing is that, like, in our teams, we have people from all different denominations, all different churches, but we're unified on the gospel, you know, the common purpose of wanting to share the good news of Christ with the lost. And if you are keen to join up, go to our website. Our website is operation513.com. So that's the numbers, 513. So operation513.com. We also have a Facebook page. You can contact us through there too.
And I know you'd like to take the opportunity to make a whole lot of new friends. So check out the Facebook page or operation513.com. Ryan Hemelaar, our guest. Ryan, great getting your insights, and honour to you as you continue to be a public evangelist here in Australia. Thanks so much for being part of 2020 today.
Thanks for having me, Neil.
Before you go, thanks for listening.
There's lots more great audio on demand, or you can listen to us live at visionradio.org.au.
And remember, Vision is listener supported. Your donation,
large or small,
will help us continue connecting faith to life for hundreds of thousands of people across Australia and around the world.
Learn more or donate today at visionradio.org.au.